नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 16th chapter, text number 28, hopefully. Yeah, good. First, I have so many august and senior devotees, I hope that I can say something meaningful that, for your pleasure. गाधिराबुन महातेजा समिधा इव पावका तपसा क्षत्रम उत्सृज्या यो लभे ब्रह्म वाचसम गदे फ्रॉम महाराज गादी Abut was born Mahateja, very powerful. Samiddha, inflamed. Iba, like. Pavaka, fire. Tapasa, by austerities and penances. Kshatram, the position of a kshatriya. Utsrija, giving up. Ya, one who. Vishwamitra, lebe, achieved. Brahmavachasam, the quality of a Brahman. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Vishwamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. Everyone can please repeat. Vishwamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadi, was as powerful as the flames of fire. From the position of a kshatriya, he achieved the position of a powerful brahmana by undergoing penances and austerities. Purport. Now, having narrated the history of Lord Parashuram, Shukadeva Goswami begins the history of Vishwamitra. From the history of Parashuram, we can understand that although Parashuram belonged to the Brahminical group, he circumstantially had to work as a kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a kshatriya, he again became a brahmana and returned to Mahendra Parvata. Similarly, we can see that although Vishwamitra was born in a kshatriya family, by austerities and penances, he achieved the position of a brahmana. These histories confirm the statement in Shastra that a brahmana may become a kshatriya may become a brahmana or vaishya, and a vaishya may become a brahmana by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth. As confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada. Yasyala lakshanam proktam bhumso bhanam vibhyanjakam yaranyaptrapi drishita tad denaiva vinirdishet. If one shows the symptoms of being a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra, even if he has appeared and a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is a Brahmana and who is a Kshatriya, one must first consider a man's quality and work. If all the unqualified Shudras become so-called Brahmins and Kshatriyas, social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be discrepancies. Human society will turn into a society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhuttare Swayam Rupakata Mahyam Tadati Svapatantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhuttare Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Rishatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in the verse itself, it describes Vishvamitra Muni. Of course, at that time, in the beginning, Vishvamitra as a Kshatriya, born in a Kshatriya family. But he wanted to be a Brahmin. Brahmin is the highest position in society. Sometimes Brahmins, they'll become proud. It's like Srila Prabhupada explains, although it doesn't precisely say it in the Bhagavatam itself, but in the story of when Durvasa Muni, he could not tolerate that a king was in a greater position than him. He's thinking, this king, he's being worshipped, the people are speaking more about him than himself, than myself, and therefore let me teach him a lesson. And he contrived a whole means by which to try to insult the king. But in this case, Vishvamitra, he felt that the position of a Brahmin would be more suitable. But he was such a Brahmin that, as it says here, Samiddha Iva Pavaka Mahateja, he was so powerful that by his austerities and penances, he was like fire. And of course, we can see that in different occasions, like when he came and asked Dasharath for his sons. He said, I want them to accompany me and I'll train them. And Dasharath said, anything else. No, anything else. Just like Harai Pandit with Nityananda Prabhu. No. First he got the promise. No, that's how you do it. First you get the promise, then you give the details. No. So, he said, anything else? No. But especially in the case of Vishvamitra Muni, Vashishtha Muni said, this is Mahateja Samidhi Iva Pavaka. You better be careful with him and just do what he says. And so Dasharatha, great reluctance, gave his sons to Vishvamitra Muni. Very powerful. So, but Srila Prabhupada dedicates his purport not so much to his power, but to the fact that one should be identified by one's qualities and work. In relation to this, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, of course, as Srila Prabhupada said, there are three basic factors that qualify a society as a civilization. First, that they protect the cows. Second, that they uphold Brahminical culture. And third, that they promote love of Godhead. If not, it's not civilization. Of course, we speak of civilizations, Greek civilization, because there was some civility, you know, there was some sense of order, some philosophy. But actually, according to Vaishnavas, that real civilization means that these qualities are there. So therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the quality of controlling the mind, because there should be a Brahminical standard in society. Therefore, the quality of controlling the mind and the senses should be there in anyone who wants to practice being a Vaishnava, whatever their qualities and work may be. That control of the mind and the senses must be there. Otherwise, it's impossible to uphold Brahminical society. So, here we have in the previous verses, we have the story of Parashuram, who was a Brahmana, became a Kshatriya, and then converted back to a Brahmana. Of course, he's an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he has his work to do. In the case of Vishwamitra Muni, he wanted to be a Brahmana. No. And therefore, by exhibiting austerities and penances and dedicating them to become a Brahmana, he developed those qualities. And he was recognized as a Brahmana. So Srila Prabhupada quotes a famous verse from Narada Muni in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada quotes so many times. No. That a person lakshanam proktam, whenever it is found within somebody certain qualities, then that really determines what is their varna. No, that is what determines it, not the fact that they were born in a particular family. No. And of course, how many times Srila Prabhupada speaks, especially about Brahma Bandhus, because nobody really claims nowadays that I'm a Kshatriya because my father's a Kshatriya. And definitely they don't say, oh, I'm a Shudra because my father's a Shudra. No, nobody says that. No. Vaishya, yeah, they may claim that. No. And a Vaishya father may, you know, it's natural that a father wants the son to be a devotee, to be what he wants. They want him to be a prototype, you know. My reflection, especially if I wasn't as successful as I wanted to be, no, then let my son be more successful. Of course, the son, if he's a good son, he will represent the father. Just like Puru, of all the sons of Yayati, he immediately accepted the request of his father, and he lamented that, why didn't I just do this on my own without being requested? I was second class. Now, Prabhupada explains that third class means that you accept reluctantly. Tenth class means you don't accept. No. And second class means you accept upon being requested. But first class, like a first class disciple, no, means that you anticipate, by hearing so many instructions by the spiritual master, you anticipate what I should do. So, Puru, he was a good, he was a first-class son, first-class disciple. A brahmana, but sometimes the father, even in the case of a devotee, there was one devotee, I won't mention his name, some of you will know who it is. So he's a lawyer, and his son went to law school, and he wanted his, so he's thinking, when his son graduated, now it's summertime, you can think about it, you'd like to be in my law, practice with me, or some other law firm, that's okay, if you want, you can decide now. And his son said, no, actually, after so many years of study, I just like to go to a temple, just be in a temple. Oh, okay, then when summer's over, you can decide. So at the end of summer, he saw his son, and he said, where do you want to practice law? And he said, actually, it was so nice to be in the temple, I think I'll just be a brahmachari. He said, what? And this is a devotee, What? How will you maintain yourself? How will you, And then he said to his father, when you were temple president, would you have said that to a brahmachari? He said, no. So sometimes this attachment is very strong. And sometimes even stronger is the attachment of a person being born, especially in a Brahmin family. Because you can, especially if you're thinking of the privileges, not the responsibility. Sometimes, especially in modern society, as Srila Prabhupada emphasizes at the end of the purport, that we're focusing in a society that's so focused on sense gratification that especially people want to see what are the external benefits, how will this increase my enjoyment, how will this make me materially happy. So unfortunately, this is the case in so many situations where someone is a Brahma Bandhu. And of course, the original Brahma Bandhu cursed Maharaj Parikshit. And of course, that was the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even after that curse, his father said, I'm really hoping that that Parikshit Maharaj will curse him. That will, because cursing such a great king, just like in the previous pastime, Jamadagni, he said, why have you killed a great king? Even though he was a pretty nasty king. I said, you don't kill the king. The king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Sanatana Goswami, when he was playing hooky, when he was absent from his Kshatriya duties as a minister, he was so tired. He had already, his brother Rupa Goswami had gone to Vrindavan and was in the bliss of devotional service. And he was stuck as a minister. Rupa and Sanatana, they didn't want to be ministers. They were forced to, because the Nawab said that if you don't do it, I will persecute all the devotees, all the Brahmins. And so they accepted, reluctantly accepted. So so Sanatana Goswami, in the pretext of being sick, he was sitting with the Brahmins and hearing the Bhagavatam, blissful. And the king, he said, he's been sick for a long time. So he sent his minister to find out what was the problem. He was so dear. He was such an expert, because a devotee is, as Srila Prabhupada said, devotee is daksha. Not that devotee thinks, no, I'm a devotee, let me be slack and forget about all my material responsibility. So he was expert. And the king was missing his counsel. So the king sent his minister and said, the minister came back and he said, "So what is his disease?" "Well, he's not diseased. He's actually sitting with the Brahmins and reciting scriptures." So the king came very angry. But when he came in, Sanatana Goswami stood up and offered respects. And Srila Prabhupada explains that because the king is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we should be honored. Even Trump, you know, somehow or another, you know, it may be difficult, or any other political leader, especially the more questionable ones, but they have that power, and that power was respected. Even Srila Prabhupada, he was reluctant to immediately take up the request of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he said, "We're a dependent country. You know, how will I preach coming from a dependent country? First we have to get independence." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Oh, no, it doesn't matter. First of all, no one is independent. Everyone is dependent." No. And then finally he said, "Anyway, they're probably doing a better job than we would at ruling. So as long as somebody's in power, we show some respect." No. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Gopinath Patanayaka was, he squandered some of the tax money that he was collecting. So, and then the devotees came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because, you know, the administrators were telling the king, "This man has been cheating you." I said, "Well, take care of him." So I said, "Okay, we'll put him on the changa, you know." And that means a big platform with big swords underneath, and you slide the door, and the person falls down on the sword. So they put Gopinath on the changa, and all the devotees came running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, explained it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. "He has to be punished. You know, I'm a sannyasi. This is not my business." Of course, Prabhupada had a different idea about sannyasis. They should be responsible in all spheres of service, because it's all devotional service to Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Let him be punished." But then they said, "But the king is going to punish him on the changa." I said, "Well, he didn't pay the king." No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sticking up for the king. No. "He didn't pay the king. He should be punished." No. And so the devotees pleaded again and again. Finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "This is not my business. If you want to help him, pray to Lord Jagannath. Jagannath can do anything he likes, and ultimately he will do what he likes. So you pray to Jagannath." And then, no. And they prayed to Jagannath. And immediately, the king was informed that if we kill him, then we will never get any money. No. Better that we work out a solution, we get money, otherwise we kill a devotee and no money. And so the king, "I didn't tell him to be killed, I just wanted the money." No. So they worked out an agreement. The point is, the king, the authority, should be respected. And anyone, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the Shudras should also be respected. No. Not that Shudras are looked down upon. No. Shudras were, you know, in Vedic society, they were cared for by the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. They had a place to live, they had sufficient food stuff, but it Prabhupada said they were not given money because their senses were not so easily controlled. But everything they needed was given to them. They weren't looked down upon. No. Rather, what was looked down upon is if a Brahmin, Kshatriya, or Vaishya acted as a Shudra. No. So here, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing, especially at the end of this verse, that one should be judged by their qualities. And just to give an example of that, there was one young man, Satyakama. No. So Satyakama, He wanted to be a Brahmana. He was very impressed by Gautama Muni and his qualities. And so he approached Gautama Muni. Now, Gautama Muni's standard was that you must come from a Brahmin family. You must come from a very, very high-class family to be his disciple. So Satyakama, his name means who has a desire for the truth. So he went to Gautama Muni and he bowed down and he said, "Please, let me be your disciple. Please allow me to be your disciple." And he said, "Well, so who is your father?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, then you ask your mother." I said, "Okay, yes, Gurudev." So he went, asked his mother. His mother was, especially in her youth, she was a freelance woman. And so he said, "Who's my father?" She said, "Well, actually, I had many different partners, so I'm not sure, which one it was." So he came back, Gautama Muni said, "So, you know who your father is?" He said, "No, I don't know. My mother said she had many, many husbands, many men, and so I don't know." And he said, "I will accept you as my disciple, because you are not ashamed to speak the truth. To you, the truth is more important than social position or pride. No, I can see that you are prideless and you are truthful. And these are the qualities of a Brahman. Therefore, I accept you." So he was accepted by his quality. He didn't have the proper birth. By his birth, he would have been rejected and practically rejected from society, especially in that very rigid Brahminical society that existed in previous times. He was by his quality. So a devotee, especially a devotee, also sees people in terms of their qualities. As Rupa Goswami says, even other devotees, we see them in terms of their qualities. Someone who chants the holy name but maybe doesn't have, as Maharaj quoted the other day, maybe is not so on such a high standard of devotional service, we respect them. In the Skanda Purana, it says that one will be possessed of a hellish mentality if one kills a Vaishnava. Of course, that's not a very good idea, to kill anyone, what to speak of a Vaishnava. If you envy a Vaishnava, if you insult a Vaishnava, if you don't respect a Vaishnava, if you become angry at a Vaishnava, or if you're not happy to see a Vaishnava. So we have to be very careful. When we see a Vaishnava, even though they may not have all the wonderful qualities, at least we should be happy. Here is a Vaishnava. By their habits, I may not be so anxious to associate with them, or maybe they have a different point of view on how to perform devotional service because of their particular line or lack of line. I will be happy to associate with them. He said, to at least. And then, if someone is practicing Krishna consciousness on the same level as we are, we should befriend them and we should associate with them. And if someone is on a higher level of devotional service, especially if they're free from the tendency to criticize, and to find faults in others, we should serve them. We judge by quality, not by birth or by bodily designation, but by quality. So this is what Srila Prabhupada emphasized. And then he says, he emphasizes here, although he doesn't mention Varnashram, but he's emphasizing Varnashram. There must be Varnashram. Especially, there must be Brahmins and Kshatriyas. And if there's no Brahmins and Kshatriyas, of course, Srila Prabhupada is interesting in this verse, in his purport, he uses the future tense. Although I think Prabhupada, it was very obvious when he wrote this purport that everything he's saying here, social order will be impossible to maintain. It was already not being maintained. No. And he says there will be discrepancies. Well, there were already. Now there's even more discrepancies. And the situation all over the world will be hellish. Just like when Srila Prabhupada went to London one time, and the interviewer asked him, so, do you believe in hell? In your religion, do you believe in hell? He said, yes. He said, so what is hell like? He said, London. No. Otherwise, we're already in a hellish condition. Just by being in this material world, we're in a hellish condition. No. It's like Srila Prabhupada one time, speaking about people being like animals. No. Prabhupada gave a very wonderful example, and something that's very common even more nowadays, almost a rule. He said, so just like a man will be walking in the park, and he chuckled a little bit. This is a class in Calcutta. He was walking in the park with his dog. You know, and the dog, he passed a stool. So the man is patiently waiting. The dog is just sniffing around. You know, you've seen that day. They take some time, you know, find the right spot. You know. And then he's waiting patiently for his dog to pass stool. You know, because he cares very much for the dog. So Prabhupada said, just like we have come to this world of stool, you know, and we are interested in so much stool, and Krishna, he is our master. He is patiently awaiting for us to finish this stool business. You know, so that he can be our real master. The Prophet could see, even in that, of course he joked about it many times, knowing who's the real master. But he could see a Krishna conscious lesson there. So I wanted to spend a little time in this last part, where Srila Prabhupada futuristically, although realistically, was saying that people will become like animals. No. In the other day, Pralananda Swami quoted one verse from the 12th canto, beginning of the second chapter, that in this age, tatas chanudinam, dharma will go down day by day. No. And of course the verse mentions the four pillars of religiosity, that satyam shaucham kshamadaya, that truthfulness, that truthfulness, austerity, and cleanliness and mercy will all be diminished day by day, kalena balina. It will happen very strongly. So then later on it says, and even before that it says, Srila Prabhupada quoted it in the previous chapter, that asamskrita kriyahina, that in the age of Kali there will be no adherence to Vedic principles. There will be no real understanding of duty, of how one should perform one's duty. No. All these things will be lost. Rajasa tamasa vittaha. And the leaders will be mainly in the mode of passion and ignorance. No. And because of that, praja te pakshayi shanti, they will practically devour the citizens. And yo bali bhavita vipa. And these kings will rule everything by power. No. And another verse then, in the next chapter, it says that people will be so miserable. And of course, the reason for it is that akirne kshitri Mandale. The world will be overpowered by Esham Prajapir Dushtabir, by unwanted population. As Srila Prabhupada said, now we have so much unwanted population. And because of that, then Brahmavit Shatrashudhanam, then there will be no real orders. And anyone from any one of these positions, Mlecha, Mlecha Rajanya, Kulam, then the Mlechas will occupy these positions. And then Srila Prabhupada mentions, where he quotes this in another place, that because there's no Brahmins and because there's no Kshatriyas, then the mercantile class, and of course Prabhupada said this again and again, capitalists, communists, mercantile class and laborer class will take over. They switch from one another. First there's capitalism, then there's socialism, then capitalism, then socialism. We've seen this going on for millennia. Because there's no real Kshatriyas. And whenever you have like a semblance of a Kshatriya, just like in Mexico in the 1800s, there was one president. And this president, what was his name? Francisco E. Madero. So he used to read Bhagavad Gita. He called himself Arjuna in the parliament, in the Congress. And he declared to the Congress, we should run our country according to the principles of Bhagavad Gita. And they assassinated him. So whenever you find in the midst of Kali Yuga somebody with some good qualities, they get rid of him. Get rid of this person interfering with our socialism or interfering with our capitalism. So this is it. Mercantile people who simply have self-interest. And even worse, you have labor people whose self-interest is even more acute, and they establish a very elite ruling class of similar people when they say everyone is equal except for me and my little group here. Everyone's equal. And then the capitalists, everyone has a good chance, but they have to work under me. So this is going on, and therefore societies have become animals. When Chitraketu was offering his prayers to the Lord, after the Lord had blessed him, he said that when there is Vishaya Trisha, when there is a desire to enjoy the senses and enjoy material, when that is actually the purpose of life, then what do you have? You have Narapashavo. You have a society, people who are actually animals, just like Srila Prabhupada says here. What do they do? No. Na upashate bibubir. They worship the Vibhu of the Lord. Otherwise, they worship the demigods, or they worship some great power. And therefore, na param tvam. They don't worship the Supreme, who is you, my dear Lord. So the result, tesham ashisha iha. Therefore, they can never have success, because yat tat vinishanti. Because those the blessings or the benedictions that they get from these demigods will disappear, just like people who worship political rulers, when that ruler is gone, just like in politics, there's a politician has his group and they have their ministers, and then when the next politician comes in, he gets rid of them and puts in his group. He was saying that unless one is actually your devotee, he's an animal. His standard is very high. We draw the line a little lower. That, of course, Prabhupada said, what distinguishes an animal from a human being? That a human being questions, why am I suffering? And then in other times he said, the four regulative principles. Now, these four regulative principles, sometimes we consider them to be standards of spiritual life. But Prabhupada said they're not actually the standards of spiritual life. They're actually the standard of human life. And from human life, then we can progress to spiritual life. So this animalistic society, they take control. Even if they may, whatever class they may, or designation they may come from, they take control. Swavid varahostra karai samstuta purusha pashu. And when the society becomes animalistic, then they elect an animal. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he comments on that verse, he said, the quality of a dog is that they become angry very easily, otherwise showing the qualities of modern leaders. Of course, that was even many years ago, and he was seeing these qualities being manifest. And he said, the hogs, they eat too much. They eat indiscriminately. And the camels, they carry a heavy load, and the asses, they're kicked by their mate. So he said, these are the people. Whoever can do these things to the greatest degree, whoever carries a big load of materialistic desires, whoever is totally attached to sex life, whoever becomes angry, and by his anger he can forcefully be a leader. Just like we see nowadays in the US, just become angry and push things through. These people will become the leaders of society. Srila Prabhupada is, in one sense, in this purport, is making an appeal. And that appeal is that we should make sure that we establish the system. In the beginning, Srila Prabhupada spoke about it being in external society. And later, when he saw that the devotees were not so transcendental, as transcendental as he had originally hoped for, he said, we have to establish this Varnashram. Otherwise, in our working, in our dealings, in our behavior, of course, a devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he emulates the inner feeling of a devotee. The inner feeling of a devotee, is naham bipro na cha, narapatir. He's not a Brahmin, he's not a king, napi vaishno na shudro, he's not a vaishya, he's not a shudra. This is the inner feeling of a devotee. Or this is how a devotee feels in the intimate dealings with other Vaishnavas in Shravanam and Kirtanam. In Shravanam and Kirtanam, we take that sentiment. We simply consider ourselves Gopi Bhartu Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa. We don't see, but those designations are important for the functioning not only of external society but of the devotee society. Prabhupada saw it as necessary. We need to have Brahmins. We need to have people who manage temples and manage devotees and lawyers, and all these things are necessary. We need to have vaishyas, otherwise how can we maintain a temple without vaishyas? And we need to have shudras. If there were no plumbers, if there were no electricians or workers or musicians are also considered to be shudras, unless they're composers. When they compose, of course, devotee musicians are not shudras, they're Vaishnavas, they're kirtaniyas, but just somebody who plays an instrument, but they're very valuable. They create a certain mood that, of course, sometimes they create the wrong mood, if you got the wrong musician. But they're supposed to create a mood of goodness, bringing people up to a higher platform in the form of bhajan. So without this organization, both inside ISKCON and outside ISKCON, then, as Srila Prabhupada said, society will just become more and more animalistic. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when there was Brahmins by, just to conclude, when there were Brahmins by birth, and everything was determined by birth in Navadvip, then Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, they were miserable, even though they were chanting in the home of Srivas Thakur, sometimes in the home of Advaitacharya, they were chanting, but they were so unhappy to see a society governed by people who claimed their position on the basis of birth, and they were creating havoc. All these unqualified Brahmins attached to wealth and knowledge, external knowledge, and not worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, that very condition, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says that the conditions of Kali Yuga had been accelerated. The things that were happening would normally be manifest further down in Kali Yuga, but to accelerate the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those qualities became manifest, even stronger qualities in Kali Yuga. And the Lord came on because his devotees, Paritranaya Sadhuna, his devotees were suffering. And he came, and of course, because he came, he gave us the responsibility that Atta Eva Ami Agyu Dilun Sabakare Jahan Tahan Prema Pala Deha Jaritari. He said, I order every person within this universe to take these fruits of Krishna, the love of Krishna, and distribute them. So here they are, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Harinam Sankirtan, Krishna Prasadam, these fruits. We all have that duty to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Now we're here in Vrindavan. Of course, some people stay here, and they're Sankirtan. They're distributing the fruits of Vrindavan to those who will carry those fruits to all other parts of the world and distribute them. And that is our duty. So these are some thoughts on this verse. I'll stop here. Any comments? Any questions?
Lord Chaitanya was discussing with Ramananda Roy about how to achieve the goal of life. Ramananda Roy suggested Varnashram Dhabi as well. That's external. And wanted to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And sometimes we hear that Varnashram Dharma Kali Yuga doesn't really work because of the surroundings or the atmosphere in which we find ourselves. Kali Yuga is so deep in Kali Yuga that how will we establish Varnashram Dhabi? And there's those who want to set up Varnashram Dhamma and blame the managers that they're not, adopting principles of adopting. So do we have to wait for the proper time until the society is beat up enough by the material energy that they'll actually come looking for Varnashram Dhamma? Or is it just something that's going to manifest as the people become better managers?
Well, that's like saying, let us sit in the temple and wait for Krishna to look for people to look for Krishna. Otherwise, as Kali Yuga progresses, it will become more adharmic, and therefore, if we don't make an effort to establish it to some degree, Ramananda Roy was suggesting that, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking about the internal development of a Vaishnava. He's not sad. Varnashram doesn't take him to perfection. It was Jane Prayasho that when Ramananda Roy spoke this verse of Lord Brahma, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, when you give up the pursuit of knowledge and you just hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the beginning of what real devotional service is. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a strict sannyasi. He followed Varnashram, externally and in the sense of his preaching, in the sense of his establishing social order, establishing the principles that he wanted to teach. He was living in that society. But he's taught us internally. Internally, we don't need Varnashram. Prabhupada said in his Varnashram talks, a devotee can if the emergency, there's an emergency, there's a need, a devotee can perform any function. But even in doing that, we still have a tendency, and we should serve Krishna according to that tendency. So that's the beginning. And Prabhupada spoke of coming to Gita Nagari, which was a farm community where Varnashram could be more, could manifest itself more. So yes, Prabhupada did give us that, among so many other things, to preach, to distribute books, also to establish it to the degree that it's possible. Not that we wait for society. We need Varnashram. We don't see that's happening. Prahladananda Swami sent around a nice little clip of modern society where basically it shows how whatever you want, that's okay. So it was like one young man was saying to a girl, so he was like, maybe 5'10". He said, so if I'm a 6'5" Chinese, will you believe that? I said, man, if that's what you want, why not? If that's what you really believe, then, I might doubt it, but actually, that's what you. So that's what we're. I don't think going in that direction, people are going to clamor for Varnashram. We need Varnashram. Just like people are not coming to our temple saying, oh, I was looking for Krishna and I finally found him. We may get someone like that, but. Prabhupada said that, don't sit in the temple. When he was in Los Angeles, no, I mean in Miami. I'm sorry, it was in Miami. He said, so here is Gornita. It was in Atlanta. Hey, here is Gornita. Do not leave them here in the temple. No, they do not want to stay in the temple. You take them out on Sankirtan. Otherwise, take them in your heart. No. So, Prabhupada is saying, don't stay in the temple, go out and preach. And in the same way, we can't expect Varnashram to happen, through Trump or even Modi, even though he's so much of a better leader, he's not going to establish Varnashram. He may establish some elements of it, like Goraksha, vegetarianism, he may emulate these things and suggest these things, but he can't force it upon the people. If he did, then probably they would get rid of him. So what to speak of other leaders? They're not going to establish Varnashram. But that's not our main service. Our main service is to distribute Krishna consciousness. So, thank you all very much for your kind attention. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, Ki Jai.